There are so many notes in this new release and so many great staples and some new things. How is it to put together a program of short showpieces?
Well, it's certainly challenging because the choice is enormous. And also depends, you know, what kind of direction one wants to go, if there's a direction or if you approach it from one side or something. And also how much many of these pieces have been recorded. So I think here the approach was including all these parameters, and it was a very thoughtful one in terms of trying to keep balance between the necessary diversity that has to be in such kind of recording with the together with, of course, the pieces that have not been recorded very often and that are rarities. And the easy part of it, of course, is that all of these pieces are pieces that works that I love, and very special and beautiful and unique and very expressive, whether they are really difficult technically or not. So, you know, all this considered, the good thing was that it was an irresistible, so to say, proposal, because most of these pieces Decca didn't have in their catalogs. So there were quite a few pieces that were appearing for the first time. So also they were very happy to see a suggestion that brings also something that is new for them. So therefore, this made it very, very, let's say, smooth, the arrival to this program, what you see on the CD.
And it's one of those things that I think people know the music, maybe not necessarily in either a solo violin or a sort of a showpiece like the Miller's Dance or these wonderful waltzes from Der Rosenkavalier. They especially may not know this sort of version that's got to be really fun to express this big, you know, juicy romantic opera waltzes with just in a chamber music setting.
Yeah, but the transcription is so fantastically done. It's done by Prichoda, who was a master of the violin himself. And when you look at the piano part or when you listen to the recording, you will realize that there is practically nothing missing there from the orchestral part. This is all is there, and it's there. It's done in a way that it's it works really fantastic, I think. And one has to be thankful because, you know, it's not about only how well one knows the violin in this case, but this is, as you described, a huge orchestral piece that means many, many parts, and one has to really feel what's the essence of the music, what's necessary to put in there, what's necessary or not important to omit, and so on. And I think that this is one of the greatest transcriptions we have in the violin repertoire. That's why I included it there.
Are these pieces that you've grown up playing and have encored and sort of lived with, or some of these new to you?
Well, both. I mean, some of them, I'll give an example. Paganini, God Save the King Variations, I played at the Paganini competition in 1988. The Sarasate pieces I've played also when I was very young. Also, the Nel Corpo Non Mi Sento Variations I played again in concert quite a few times when I was quite young. Apart from these pieces, the rest is much more recent, and some of it is very new in the recording. So the Britten, the Tchaikovsky, the Dvořák, the Wieniawski, the Strauss, the Stravinsky pieces, they're all new. So I learned them. No, the Stravinsky. Sorry, I'm not right. The Russian dance I've been playing a lot in encores, but not since I was very young. Rather later. The Chanson Russe. That is something that I learned because I just love this aria, and I wanted to include it together with the dance from Petrushka. So, I have pieces, but these were definitely, for instance, look, the Wieniawski, which is also something I learned for this, is something that I remember Gingold playing it in the class all the time and demonstrating the piece and with his incredible sound and so on. So I had a an acquaintance with the piece since I was young, but I never, so to say, played it myself. The Doch Nanyi is a piece that I loved for many years. I couldn't find the music. Finally, I did. I knew these recordings of Heifetz and Kreisler, which were absolutely divine, and the music is so fantastic. I thought, I have to play this. And finally, of course, here it is. Now I'm playing it a lot in as an encore when I have recitals. The Britain, I have to say, this was a total novelty also for me, because I found the music in a music store quite a few years ago, and then I it looked good to me. I put it away, and then now when I was making up the program and I took out all the different parts that I have at home and checking in my library, you know, what I should, you know, try to make the list shorter and shorter in order to include it in the CD, this was always appearing on the top, you know, because this was something that looked really good and fantastic lyric for the violin, very challenging, and it's something that nobody knows. And of course, it's something that I'm very proud that I could include it there in the CD. I think there is only one other recording that exists of this piece, so which you can imagine is quite rare in our time to have only two performances of this piece. Therefore, you know, it just came that, you know, I decided these are works that I love, and whether they're new or they are works that I've played for a long time before, it doesn't matter, because they form a fantastic program where there is an incredible variety in the styles, and each 3 minutes of each piece has a great story to say.
Absolutely. The story behind the Britain, reading about it, I love the concerto, and so it seems natural that he would want to write something else for the violinist, and it's so personal. It's a neat tale, and now nice to hear.
Mm.
As these are sort of mini masterpieces and little things, is it nice to return back with Enrico, who you recorded amazing set of Beethoven sonatas that are sort of, you know, Shakespearean almost? I put Beethoven and Shakespeare in sort of the same circle, and these are sort of miniature. So is it fun to have explored these large works and now to sort of take into these mini pieces?
Of course. It goes without saying. I mean, the violin repertoire is quite rich in that sense. Not as rich as I would like it to be in terms of the big monumental cycles like the Beethoven sonatas, which is enormous, or the Brahms sonatas, only three, but three masterpieces totally. But it has an amazing variety and quantity of smaller pieces like this that many, in most cases, violinists composed. But also other pieces that came out of the fruits of relations, friendships between great composers and great violinists, like you have the Stravinsky pieces, which are his own arrangements. One should say that this is by Stravinsky, so this gives another gravity when one thinks what kind of composer we're talking about. Or the, for instance, the Tarega, which was transcribed by excuse me, Ruggero Ricci. The Falla that was transcribed by Joseph Sighetti, there was not immediate relation there, but, you know, still there was this kind of greater inspiration of wonderful piece that comes, becomes, somebody gets a fixation on this and then writes, transcribes it for another instrument, and we have this wonderful results. So, you know, we have... I have to say that I am, the more I look at it, because, you know, the thing is this with recording, sometimes, you know, you do it and it's done and it's there. Like, it's not like, you know, Beethoven concerto or Brahms concerto or something that will be programmed in a concert hall and you have to think about this is coming again and again and again and again. The recording is something that you deposit at one moment and it stays there. And for me, the most important thing, therefore, is that when you look at it, again and again, it keeps looking good. I have to say that I am very pleased with the way this the sequence of the works and the variety of styles has been included in this CD, because this really offers all sides of interpretation and all sides of playing within 80 minutes.
Absolutely. It's a stunning release. I would ask, is it something like Ricci or Kreisler, or as you mentioned, Sacchetti? Have you thought about working out? Are there any tunes that have made you go, gosh, there should be a violin version, whether you or maybe another composer would be willing to transcribe?
Certainly. Certainly, but one has to be very careful. This was something that actually Gingold mentioned all the time. He said, you know, the problem with violinists nowadays is that they don't make their own transcriptions anymore. They don't make their own, you know, like the old guys did. And he was very right in this. But nevertheless, I feel that one should never do something for the sake of doing it, but one should really do something when one thinks this is necessary. And also, when one thinks that it can be done accordingly to the tradition that we have already, which sets the standards very high. And so, having said that, when I'm convinced that I can achieve that, maybe I will think of transcribing a couple of pieces. But at the moment, I enjoy playing the transcriptions of other people because I enjoy also their talent of transcribing, which is unique. You know, maybe this time will come, what you just said, but it just hasn't come yet.
Well, I would end asking about making sort of the transition to conducting. I know there were some wonderful recordings where you were leading an orchestra, but now you're actually leading larger programs. Is that something that you've consciously tried to do, and is that something enjoyable?
Oh, absolutely. Look, you don't walk in front of an orchestra by accident, that's for sure. So it's absolutely so that it conducting came out as a necessity to further explore the repertoire and the styles in music, and also the fact that from the psychological and the mental point of view, as a soloist you're always by yourself and you turn your back to the orchestra while playing the concert and so on. But I feel that as a conductor, one has this possibility of really communicating the views and the approach, the music, to the colleagues in a way that it can become very, very creative. And I find this just fascinating. And therefore, conducting has been always something that I wanted to do. And when I decided to start doing it, you know, I found out that it was something that somehow worked, and then it kept going, and now, you know, I go, there are certain orchestras that I will go back regularly to, and others that I work with for the first time. For me, it's a fantastic experience, and it is an experience that I learn from very much. I love interacting with the colleagues. And the repertoire that one can explore is absolutely amazing. I should say that, of course, from that end, Bruckner was one of the very important points for me to start conducting. So, yes, I enjoy it very much, and I do it. But I do it as an artistic search, part of my artistic needs, and not as an ambitious career step.
Well, we're looking forward to this and so much more. And congratulations on Virtuoso. It's stunning.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your interest. Take care.